Blog Praise Talk the Lord. Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Bless us once again to be on the radio, and I'm thankful to God that I can say a word to what God has us to do. One of the things I continue to say is, what God can do, He will do it, because He's on our side. Many times in life, we come to a point where it appears like we just give up. But we must stay encouraged. And I want to encourage you tonight that are listening to me these words. There is no love like God's love. When God loves, God so loved the world, God and Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall have eternal life. And that's what we keep saying. Sometimes it appears that we have different things that are happening with us, and it appears that things are not where we want to be, but the God we serve is a good, great God. And you know one thing I'll say I thank God for? Because the things that we ask of Him. And so if I go down the line pointing out what God would have us to do, and I would like to share with you what I read every day, because it keeps me moving to eternal life. And one of the scriptures you're going to find, if you would take notice and pull it up and you can see it, as it was moved to me, I go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10, I believe, 8 or 10. But it says these words, and God speaks to us, and He says these words. He said, I, God, I will, praise the Lord. Hello? He says,
Good evening. I was outdoors, just trying to, I just muted so I wouldn't disturb it. What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
I'm doing well, sir, doing well.
All right, then. Well, the program below, I was just getting you ready. So the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Amen.
Okay, well, good evening to everyone. How are you?
Amen. Grant has a word for us because he has his title, Second Chronicles, verses 7-14. And I've listened to his teaching. He's a man of God. He teaches what God gives him to say. That's why I thank God for Grant. Brother Grant, will you say a word and teach the people?
Hey, well, good evening, everyone. I'm excited, as always, to join you, Dr. Hunter, and those of you participating on this wonderful evening where I go. Just wonder, does anyone have any testimonies to share just before we get started? Any wonderful, spectacular testimonies, awesome testimony, euphoric testimony, and anything that God's working or doing in your life that you just want to share? Hello?
No, I don't. Praise God.
No?
Praise
okay.
God.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me give an example. For me, this is real simple, real basic. But every now and then, we know as men of God, women of God, we speak for God. And what it indicates is when you get to where you're going, when you have any location where you're at, God is saying, hey, I will tell you what to say. I will give you what to say. Every now and then there are occasions where we go, okay, God, I know I speak for you, but how often do I speak for you? Is it just when I'm behind the pulpit? Is it just when I feel an unction of the Holy Spirit? Or is it just when I'm praying for someone and you know, about concerning spiritual matters? How about that opportunity where, somebody just asks you a question? and you, without thinking of the forethought, you give them the best information, the best answer that you believe you can. All right? Am I still speaking for you then, Father? I had a basic example. Just Monday morning. I was talking with someone on Sunday, and one of the things the person was sharing was that, hey, you can't walk in the Spirit every day. And I go, yeah, yes, you can. But, you know, I'm just listening. Well, you can't speak for God all the time. You know, somebody's got to tell you when to speak. He's got to tell you when to say. I go, yeah. You know, that's kind of where it is also. I go, well, okay, God, hey, do I speak for you all the time? Do, you know, give me some understanding about this. So I'm not sure how many persons are with you this evening, Dr. Hunter, but for me, it was just another opportunity that God showed up in my life and says, "Yeah, hey, this is the way this is."
Amen.
I'm going to work on Monday morning, and there's a lady who I encounter. Who I'm going into the building where I work, and the lady is standing. She's standing up. She's standing by a handrail. She's holding onto a rail. Now, she's a heavy-set lady. She's got a small oxygen tank with her. You can see the apparatus around her nose, which she's, you know, the breathing apparatus. And so I don't know if she's winded or if she's just kind of, if there's a lane, if you can imagine a walkway, and she's just kind of to the left of the walkway, and if she's just allowing me to perhaps go ahead of her or walk ahead of her, because she might be traveling behind me at a slower gait. You know, so I didn't know she was just being kind, allow me to get past her, and then she continued on her journey. So what I did was I just went down the stairs rather than this ramp. And as I passed her, I just said good morning. All right? Now, as soon as I passed her, I've got a smartphone and all that. You got the stuff to put on the belt to keep it, to hold it and protect it and that kind of stuff. And the thing fell off.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, I just put it on when I got out of my car, and I secured it to make sure it wouldn't fall, but it fell off as soon as I passed her. So my first thought was, God, it's going to be that kind of day. And I said, I just picked it up, all right? And when I picked it up, the words that came out of my mouth was, we will wait for you. That's what came out of my mouth. We will wait
for you. Oh, my Lord.
Now, I didn't have any idea as to what that meant. I didn't know why I said it. Okay, we will wait for you. And I continued on my little journey inside the building. I go, okay, there's a security guard in the building. And I went up to the security guard. She's right inside the door. Says, well, hey, I told that lady you'll wait for. That's what I told her. Okay? Because I go, well, it didn't make sense for us to say we will wait. So I figured, well, maybe I got it wrong. Hey, I told her you'll wait for. All right, I went on inside the building. And I get into the location where I work, and 15, 20 minutes later, there's a lady, the lady who I encountered on the, you know, on this ramp, she comes in the room.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, she comes in, and immediately I remember the words that I said, we will wait for you. Recognize what God was doing at that time, that wasn't me. God didn't give me an unction to say, hey, tell her this. It came out.
Uh-huh.
We will wait for you. I just didn't have an understanding of what he meant at that time. Once she came into the room where I was, it became apparent. I had given her a word of reassurance. I had given her a response to her inquiry, her conversation with God, because she was concerned about being late. She was concerned about the repercussions for being late. She was concerned about, will I be timely? In other words, she was talking to her father about her situation that she happened to be in.
Okay.
And when I came by,
I see.
I gave her a word of encouragement. I just didn't know what it was about. So I didn't give it to her. God gave it to her. But when she came in the room and I recognized who she was, and then he brought it all together. So I guess my point of bringing up the story was I simply made an inquiry. God, you know, am I always talking for you? Or is it just those opportunities where you tell me to say this, or you're in a pulpit, or you're praying, and he's downloaded information to you so that you speak it?
Mm-hmm.
And he simply gave me a very graphic but simple demonstration that I had nothing to do with. And in doing it, Well, he answered and responded to my question. So I'm always speaking on his behalf because the spirit that's in me is always busy, is always talking to us, is always sharing information, is always teaching and learning and discipling and sharing information with us for demonstration. I don't know who's on the line, but again, God will use us when we say yes, when we indicate we desire to be of service, when we indicate that we accept the Son as the Savior, but also we declare him to be our Lord, and we allow him to make the changes in us so as to reproduce, so that God can reproduce us and make a reflection of Christ so that others see and hear Christ in us. So, I just wanted to share because that, again, that's an awesome testimony. Simple in nature, because one, I just asked him, made a simple inquiry, and he responded very quickly. Two, it just reassures you as to who you are, who you belong to, and who has the responsibility for our everyday conversation, our everyday life. So when you say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, wonderful, that's the word. In the process of doing it, God's going to bring out in you and say through you and do through you. And where you go, you represent the fullness of his power everywhere you go. Everywhere you go.
Amen. Well, Grant, I tell you, that is a testimony that earmarks to all who can, as you said, listen to what. Sometimes God won't give you a word to tell somebody, but he will tell you and let it show up to you. We serve a God that's everlasting, point to point.
Yes.
And
what
we desire, I said we, inclusive, to the body of believers, God wants to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Because the times we live in, they're perpetual. It's up to us who have the gospel to tell the people about the gospel. And the truth known, God loves, when he sent his son, he said he loves you. And when we accept it, as you pointed out very candidly, and submit and say, yes, Lord, full of questions, full of answers, but God is using each and every one of us in our own time. I call it micro moment, because that is, that micro moment is so fast, it heaves up on you and says, oh, but God is available. Well, your day's been a blessed day, hasn't it?
Yeah, but Dr. Hunter, every day's a blessed day.
Amen. Well, that's what
every day is a blessed day. Now, there'll be those who suggest it's a blessed day or a good day because of what the contrast. In other words, you're alive and you're not dead. You awaken. You have a reasonable ability of your health and strength. You're in your right mind. You know, those are contrasts. And I'm saying that, well, it's better than being in the grave. But it's more than that. Every day is a great day. It's more than just attitude. It's living on that word and acknowledging that it is true so that it transforms your thinking and you see things perhaps from an eternal or from a God-directed outlook. And this is my point. If you have an opportunity, for those who are listening, and I know certainly you've got Bible scholars and teachers on the line, that passage in Matthew 6, around the 33 and 34th verse, or perhaps even in Luke when it speaks of it in Luke 12, you have God indicating anything. If you seek me, if you seek my righteousness, and he indicated everything else will be added to you. Now, if I can point, stop you just right there. If you seek in him, he says everything else will be added. And he goes on to say, I'll be responsible for you. Now, in that responsibility, he says, I'll meet all your needs. So I guess the gist of what I'm saying is if you believe his word, not just no weapon formed against me shall prosper, not just everything's going to work out for my good according to his purposes, all right, not just not just any promise that we choose to stand on, but if you take each promise and under Holy Spirit direction and guidance, and will show you truth, the truth will be, if God indicates in a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples that you can call him Abba, you can call him Father, if in that same vein he desires to be that to us, and when you submit to him as a father, acknowledging our weaknesses, our frailties, and that, God, you're responsible for me because I'm seeking you, I'm learning more about you, then he will be responsible for everything in your life. Now, if you take a verse that says, God supplies all my needs, he meets all of my needs, may I ask any of you a question? If that were not true, what would happen?
That's a good question.
Okay, do you want a phantom an answer? I know you know it because you're Bible scholars. Now, the word says that he meets all of your needs. We agree with that. That's Philippians 4:19 and others. Now, if the word is true, that means the word is true. If the word is not true, what happens?
We are liars.
Pardon? Pardon?
We have at least 100 people listening, but they won't call in.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going with this, all right? The word is true. At some point, you have to make a decision whether the word is true. Of course, it's true whether you believe it or not, but in terms of your believing it and knowing it and standing on it, you come to some decision about that. If the word is not true, according to the Bible, what does it say? Remember the jot, remember the tittle, remember heaven and earth will pass away before anything in the word is not true. So the gist of what I'm saying is, if the word is not true, we would know it because heaven and earth will pass away, and we're part of that. So since that hasn't happened, then the word has to be true.
My God.
Are you following me on that? The word says it's truth. He says that heaven and earth will pass away before any part of the word is not true. So the fact that we are still here means that we need to accept the word as being true. Now, once you accept the word as being true, then if God says, I will supply all your needs, then that means right here and right now, for this particular moment, every need that God has designed for me must be taken care of. Because if it's not, then that means his word is not true. And we just talked about possibilities are if the word weren't true. So what I'm saying is we're talking about a paradigm shift. You're talking about a mindset shift. You're talking about reading the word and believing it so that you operate with it. If right here and right now, every need that you might have has to be taken care of by God according to his word.
Amen.
And he does it moment by moment. He says, don't fret about tomorrow. There's enough bad stuff or trouble and all the other stuff to deal with tomorrow. He says, forget about the past. Just learn from it. But right here in this moment, every need is met. And so it's possible if with this mindset shift, you never get to the future. You basically have a moment-by-moment existence where you're walking in by faith, led by the Holy Spirit, and enjoying God's presence. And in his presence, we know, is the fullness of joy. In his presence is peace. As you concentrate and dwell on him, he says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. The New Testament says, peace that goes beyond other understanding, peace that the world doesn't give to you. So in his presence is the fullness of joy, fullness of peace, and abundance of his love. Now, getting back to what you asked, how was my day? My day is awesome, fantastic, phenomenal, you're full, terrific, all of that, because I walk in God's presence, and I'm reminded and know that I'm there, And in there is all of those things that our limited in vocabulary is able to explain concerning our God.
My God, my God. You know, I know that God has blessed you with a gift to teach, preach, and reach. And I know a lot of people will ask the question, and I noticed this, Minister Grant. A lot of people are listening, but they won't ask questions. I've been praying that we will pray that they will come and ask a question so we can be involved in a conversation. Yeah, but I put this down. I said, a lot of people will hear what you're saying, but they say, well, I don't try it. That ain't working for me. What do you say to that person?
What do you say to that person?
I,
all right. But there's a scenario. There's a scenario, and it's all involves the Word of God. All right? There are occasions, and we know that, where God is doing something not different, but something special in your life. The special being, if there's something that you've determined to be a need, and you prayed about it, and you asked, and you're standing on the Word, well, if you says, if I pray, you hear me. And if you hear me, I know that I have the petition, as long as I don't doubt. All right? There's a checklist. Part of the checklist, okay, are you paying selfishly? Part of the checklist, you know, is what's your motives behind the prayer? All right? Is it self-oriented? And I mean, in other words, as you stand on promises and you learn truth, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal things to you. And God is always up to something when something you believe he should be doing that he's not. Sometimes it is that test of faith. Now, how do we know what the situation is? I can't say it's simple, but it is simple. The Holy Spirit is there to teach, to guide, reveal truth. And as you start hearing God's voice, you know, in the small things and then in the larger things, and you see his testament of faith, you grow. And as you move from the milk and you start acquiring an appetite for that word, he's going to share and show you. He will move heaven and earth to allow you to have the knowledge as to what he's doing in your life. Because what's important is, as he's transforming you, as he's giving you opportunities to get to know him, as he's giving you opportunities to learn that he's faithful, as he's providing you opportunities where he can show himself strong, as he's giving you the situations where you have to say, Lord, I need your help. Once you get that message, once you learn it, then you become a walking billboard for him. You become that individual who just can't wait for someone to ask you how you're doing so that you can give a remarkable testimony of what God has done. And guess what that does? Then you are participating in his glorification process. So we're glorifying him. He glorifies his son. And you're part of the process. So to answer your question, when you walk in the Spirit and you're asking God, God's word says he's going to tell you. He's going to give you wisdom, which is knowledge about the circumstance you're in from his perspective. He's going to do it. So it's not a positive attitude. It's an actualization that the word is true, and you have to stand with it and on it. And when you do, his word says, hey, it won't return to your void. When you do, he's going to make sure his word is true. There's no doubt about that. That's a realization that eventually you've got to come to. When you tell him his word, when you pray it, when you repeat it back to him, he's the one responsible for making that word come true, not us. And that's just part of our growth process.
Amen. I like, Dr. Hunter, I like the way you explain it.
Well, that's well, Dr. Hunter, one of the awesome things that God allows us to participate in is redemption. When you had an opportunity to mess up, to be a part, be jacked up from the floor up, from being in pits, walking around blindly in wilderness situations, looking from pillar to post as to see who's got a word, who has truth. You're looking for a burning bush experience. You're looking for God to reach through time and space and eternity and show up in your life in a way that affects you. In other words, when you recognize that, hey, you're dead in your sin and your trespasses, you've done something crazy, and you need out of it, when you are David, who's suggested to her by a prophet, and indicates, hey, God is not pleased with this thing that you've done in killing a man and taking his wife, and now you got a baby on the way. And David acknowledging, look how far I've fallen. Look how far I've fallen. Would you have David remember when he's laying on his back in the pasture, looking up at the skies, talking to God, and just wondering how magnificent it is? He had nobody else to talk to. Sheep don't talk. So he had to be just talking to God. And here he is. The prophet Nathan comes and tells him, God has a word for you, and it ain't good. And this is what's going to happen in your house. And he immediately desires to change. And in 51, he pins some beautiful words, clean me up, cleanse me up, give me a clean heart, you know. And he goes on to say, and this is just what I love about it. He says, return to me the joy of my salvation. In other words, Father, I just love hanging out with you. I need to be in your service. I need to have your presence. It's Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
Saying, Lord, God, I don't feel you. Where are you? Why you turn your back on me? It's that kind of experience because you feel you have an intimate relationship with God. And David goes on to say, if you do it, if you clean me up, if you turn me around, if you give me that clean heart, if you allow me the blood sacrifice, I would have done that. If you created me, all of what he says, I will go tell others about you. That's a redeemed man. That is the blessing that God gives us in redemption. All those things that we've done, all those exes that we have, all those things that we used to be identified by, all those things that we participated in voluntarily that glorified us, that glorified the flesh, he uses all of those experiences when we come to Christ.
Amen.
To go out, again, speak to the lost, to share information. None of it's wasted. He knows how to use every bit of those former expressions so that we can be exemplifying Christ today. That's the blessing of being a redeemed man, a redeemed woman, because that hand that pulls you out the pit that you're in, that hand that provides the shift in your life so that you know that you can recognize darkness and light, you don't forget that hand. You don't forget that. You don't forget where God brought you from. You don't forget where you were and now where you are. You don't forget that. And since you don't, he gives you a passion like the prolific writers in the New Testament that we now know as Paul, who, remembering what he was doing and how often it happened and knowing the guilt associated with and all those terrible things he did, and here, that he'd have that there's a Savior who loved him enough to give him a Damascus Road experience where his life would be transformed so that he'd have an opportunity to reflect on what he did and then what God desired him to do. And then he decided, I'm going to be as brazen and as bold as I was before, sharing this gospel, because he knew what God brought him for. He knew what he was responsible for. He knew the atrocity. He knew the level of sin. And Christ said, go ahead, I'm listening. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to preach. I'm listening.
Hey, I know somebody has sent two questions. The first question is, why God rain on the just as well as the unjust? The second part of it is, why would one seek God if the rain on both?
Well, okay, why does he rain on the just and the unjust? And why, if he rains on both, watch, we have an opportunity to see God. Okay, all right. He's just, let's use a natural analogy. Holy Spirit, help me with this. Since he rains on the just and the unjust, all right, that means both are getting rain. Who has a better appreciation for the rain? The person who has experienced drought? The person who has had opportunities to not have as much rain? The person who now knows, this is kind of nice to be in a circumstance where there is rain and they'd be able to see the fruits thereof. Who has a better conversation? It's probably going to be the person who knows the difference in the before and the after, the having the rain and not having the day. All right? Now, what's important here is the just, all right, have had opportunities to experience the other, and God has made a difference in their lives so that they now are just, they now are in right standing, they now have an appreciation for it. The unjust, all right, are still in the circumstance, but if you're unjust in most situations, you think it's all about you anyway, and you might not have the appreciation of who is responsible for the rain. Right? How is that for an answer? Do we need more information? Hello?
I think that the question was, and somebody said, how do I get salvation? So I said, I was asked Grant, we're going to offer salvation to them who are listening right now. We don't know who's listening, but somebody sent me a text, and they do this. That's the reason why I ask you when people send me a text. So we go ahead and offer somebody who's listening salvation, Grant, if you will.
Oh, offer them salvation? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there's a few places in the Bible, but the favorite passage that are used by individuals is Romans 10:9. And it would indicate certainly if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, all right, that he was raised from the dead, it says you are saved. All right, that's just one of the verses. Now, what do we say? What are we saying? Saved being, okay, you're going to spend eternity with Christ. That's awesome. Saved being you've got a mansion, you know, in the heavenly kingdom. You get to walk around the streets of gold. That's nice, all right? And so what are you saved to? Okay, there's some things that come with the salvation. One of those things is there has to be some level of recognition that I'm not getting this right. Maybe I'm not having the best life I'm supposed to. Maybe that I'm disobedient to God's word. So I'm doing those things that the Bible would say I shouldn't do. I'm violating my moral conscience. Those would be things, one of the first level of inquiry. And if you can make a decision that I need to do better, I need to experience more, I don't like where I am, then it's certainly indicating, God, I messed up. I'm not doing this right. I need your help to get this right, and I desire a Savior. In other words, it helps if you have knowledge that I need a Savior because there's a debt that we are constantly involved in called sin where we're not getting it right, and God is calling us to do it better. Once you recognize I've messed it up, you might need someone to intercede on your behalf. The Bible indicates that's Jesus Christ. The Bible indicates that his atoning death, all right, took care of the past sin, your present sin, and anything that might happen or jump off in the future that involves sin. He's taking care of all of that. So when you indicate that I am a sinner and that I can't keep myself from sinning, even on my best day, I'm in need of someone, according to the Bible, to take care of that. And that's where Christ came in. So by accepting Christ, you are accepting a gift of now you don't have to worry about your sin. I'm being careful in how I say that. When I say worry about, now you don't have to worry about the penalty of the sin, which is death, which is separation from God, because God has designed or allowed his son on the death on that cross to take care of that once and for all. If you knew and know about the Old Testament, in order for you to be in right standing with God, you had to kill animals. Under the New Testament, New Covenant, God did it once and for all. I'll shed the blood of my son, and that's going to cover the transgressions of all mankind. So now mankind no longer has a sin issue. And I'm being careful about what I'm saying. I'll get back to that in a moment. Mankind no longer has a sin issue. In other words, God's paid for it, so sin is not the problem. All right? Now, if you recognize that I have a Savior because he's saving me, his blood is covering my sin, and I'm accepting him as my Lord, the Bible says it's once you confess it and then you believe it in your heart that you are saved. So it's a spiritual thing. Guess what? You don't know if it's true or not. You have to accept it by faith. I hope everybody's hearing me. You have to accept it by faith. Every promise in the Bible is acquired by faith. But that's what the word
says. Well, one
says.
Person, Grant. Amen. Well, Grant, one person is sending me a text. They said, okay, I know the law, but I made mistakes. How do you offer deliverance to a person that needs help?
Okay. Well, again, that first step is certainly confession of sin, which is repenting of the action. The second step would be receiving the Savior, receiving Jesus Christ, receiving the gift, and acknowledging that God is the one who's justifying you in your sin. Now you don't have a sin issue. And Christ is covering your sin. When God looks at you now, he sees you incorporated in the presence of his Son. The third step would be submission, which is declaring Jesus to be your Lord. You ask about deliverance. As you give permission in your life for God to change you from the inside out, you will be delivered. The why? Because God is going to expose everything in you that he desires to take out. He's going to show you just how rotten your flesh is. And he's responsible for the transformation. That's what his word says. Because in the process of accepting that gift of salvation, he gives you his spirit. God comes to rest in you. He comes to rule in your life. He comes to transform you. And that's an awesome thing to have to know that God is in you. Now, what is it that a God who now is in you, who desires to be a part of your life, to be in relationship with you, what is it that he can't deliver you from?
Well, you
God
know what,
Grant?
A lot of these people.
Yes. Yes,
Doctor. Yeah, a lot of people won't get on the line, but they're sending me texts. Somebody says, any way you know when a demon is present, is there any way you know when a demon is present and how do you cast it out?
Well, again, if we stick with basics.
I've been asked the same question. I know.
Okay, we can address it. But sticking with basics,
yeah.
When Christ is present in your life, when his spirit is in your life, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is reveal truth. So if you're in a circumstance where there is a demon present and you're seeing it manifested in perhaps somebody else's life, the Spirit is going to reveal that to you. So you'll know who you're working with, what you're dealing with. That is truth.
Yeah.
If you ask God for truth, he's going to give you truth. Now, in terms of engaging the demon and some of the other stuff, now certainly there's scripture and acts that indicate, you know, that might not be the most favorable thing to do until you grow in the Lord. You grow in hearing from God. Let's say it this way. You get to a point where not only do you believe the word is true, you know the word to be true, so that when you actualize it, when you speak it, you recognize that there are angels who are ministering to you, and they're right then and there performing the word that you share on behalf of God so that they move in the spiritual so that that occurs. But that's a growth in the person because of their knowledge of and belief of and standing on the word. And his word is responsible for the exorcisms or any manifestation art. But the Bible says this, if you resist the devil, it's going to happen. He says that's what he asked you to do, right? And basically that's the thought, or that's a demon. So you concentrate on his word, and when you repeat his word back to him, it is written with the acknowledgement that you represent the Most High God in any and every situation that you're in. And you're walking in that full armor, and you know that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, all the other things. In other words, when you know the word, when you speak it, God is responsible for performing that word. You're just a vessel at that point in time that's being used.
Amen. Well, you know, one of the things, Grant, is I, with much love in my heart and peace in my heart, God is a God who is a forgiving God and a loving God. And one person asked me this question. They said to me, well, how do you get to know that God will do as he says he's going to do? And my statement to them was, hello?
I'm listening, Dr. Honor. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. My statement to them was, if you can believe, all things are possible. And I keep saying to them, all things are possible. Not something, but all things. Whatsoever you are counting, it behooves the believer to follow the path of Jesus. And if we take notice, if I may say, Grant, when we go into the Bible and we read the very challenges that Jesus had in the book of Luke, I believe it is, of Matthew and Luke, and the enemy came and challenged you, if you. He always came with if you. See, the enemy comes with an if you. He don't come with the realness. You see, he won't come with the realness. The question will be raised. Jesus says, he will not bow. I will not bow. I will not bow. And the enemy left him. But we go back and we look at the 55th chapter of Psalm, and we find the word where it says that he will not bow. He will not bow. He will not submit to the submission. It was written. And so I said, and hear what God is doing. And, you know, Grant, a lot of people have asked me the question in my ministry. And I know sometimes when I lay hands on people, pray for them. And I know that there is a resistance of the enemy. I lay hands on, and I've had that demon to get up and talk back to me.
Yes,
and I've had
yes,
to bind it. I've had to bind it and command it to release and let go. So I know a lot of people need, a lot of people are listening, and it must be digging deep into the Word of God. Amen.
Hey, but I agree. But Dr. Hunter, I'm going to ask you to consider something, because you know this to be the Word. Biblically speaking, he says, "Get dressed up," Ephesians 6. All right, and he tells you to put on the helmet of salvation and everything else concerning the feet. And then he says you have a shield of faith, and he also says you have that sword. All right? But all of what you just said, to the glare or the bind, you have to speak it. And in order to speak it, you have to stand on the word. And what Jesus told us is it is written. So when you speak the word concerning that situation, God is responsible for performing it. So whether you're binding, or whether you're just, you know, resisting the thought or the devil, God says it will flee. That's his word.
It will flee.
That's his word.
It will
so,
flee.
So
that's
as you,
his word,
as you,
not
as,
our word, his
yeah,
word.
Yeah, that's his word. So, I mean, and if I may just use one example, and then if you'd allow me to close.
Go ahead.
If, for anyone who's listening, if I ask you, what is your name, you'd be able to tell me your name. And if I asked you a second or even a third time, you'd have to be able to tell me your name. But by the third time, you're going to say, well, where are you going with this? About the third time I ask you the question, I'm going to ask you, how do you know that's your name? And you give me one answer. I'm going to ask you again. And then I'm going to ask you again. And you'll go, okay, I got it. How do I know this? And this is how I know. You're going to say somebody told you. You're going to say a mom or dad called you that. You're going to say, I saw it in writing on my birth certificate. You're going to say, I saw it in my school certificates for years and years and years. I know my name, okay? You know your name. The last thing, question I'm going to ask you is, do you believe that's your name, or do you know that's your name? And what are you going to tell me? You're going to say, I know it's my name. And I'm going to ask you, why do you know it's your name? And you're going to give me incidents and circumstances where you have verified and you have been able to see and you can stand on the fact that that is your name. It's not a belief that it's your name. You have a knowledge
Amen.
that is your name. Now, when you
Amen.
Have the knowledge that that word of God is true, it's more than a belief. It's a knowledge that is true. And when you have the knowledge that is true, just like you know your name, when you speak it, you have an expectation that it's going to happen because his word is true, and you now know it is true. He's demonstrated it to you in your life. And when you say it, you can do it without doubting because you know that is true. That's when
Amen.
You're going to see some awesome manifestations and power work in your life because you're standing, you believe, you not just believe it, you know that it's true, it's part of your existence, and then you, according to the word, can do those bigger and greater things than Christ, because he said we can do it. But it's, and we, it comes with us knowing that word is true. And the last thing I'd ask you to do, just in terms of closing, I talked about the repentance aspect. I spoke briefly about putting your hand in the preacher and your heart and giving your heart to Jesus. The third thing would be is submission. It would be taking up your cross every day. The third thing would be saying Jesus is Lord. It would be submitting to his will and his guidance in your life and giving control of your life so that the Spirit rests and rules in you and abides. And we know abides, and Jesus says John chapter 15, 7, it says, you abide in me and I abide in you. Okay, if the word abides in me, I abide in you. And in that abiding, he's going to transform you from the inside out. And then in Philippians, I believe the second chapter, verse 13, he says that with that spirit in you, what he does is he gives you the desire and then also the power to desire to please God. And we please God with our faith, and you know his ultimate desire is our obedience. So then once he's working in your life in that way, then it's a day-by-day thing where you walk in obedience to what God has you doing. And then you're in line for all of his blessings because you're declared to be righteous, you're declared to be in right standing, and the promises are automatically to those, they're automatic for those who are in right standing with God. That's what he told them other folks. I'm sorry, that's what he indicated in the Old Testament when there was a different covenant with the nation of Israel. If you are obedient, blessings will overtake you. The same is true because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and in the future. When you walk in righteousness, you're declared to be holy, you make an effort in your life to exemplify the fruit that Christ is bringing out in you, the blessings are all going to overtake you. How do we know? Because if it's not true, you won't know about it. You won't be here because heaven and earth is on the path before anything that's in that word of God fails. Amen?
Amen. Well, you know what, Grant? One of the things I thank God for and the fact that what God wants to do with us is that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And it is thought that that is declared. We have the right, I have the right to put it down because this is my heritage, what God has given to me. And you know, may I ask you a question of what I've experienced in life that I've
Please do.
In the I've been in the midst of people where there have been, when a man was 109 years old, his vision was 20/20. He was teeth, he had them all perfect. The man, we go out to eat, the man would eat two plates of food. And I would ask him questions. And I said, how are you able to eat all that food? And don't pick up no weight. He said, from my youth, I was learned to make 32 bites every time. He says, I learned to chew it 32 times. And it taught me to know that God keeps that, he says, it gets into your digestive system, and as a result of getting into your digestive system, you're able to let it go out. And so I asked the old man, I said, well, Bishop, I said, well, how is that when you lay hands on a lot of people that a lot of them just fall out? He said, it is called the anointing. And he said, I declare the anointing of Jesus Christ over you. And I said, well, praise the living God. Now, you know, the old man is not here when he was 109 years old, still preaching the word of God, still declaring victory in the name of Jesus. So my question to my audience, if they're listening, is it irrelevant for us who walk by faith and not by sight, have the fivefold gifts, have the gifts of the Spirit? Is it right for us to allow the enemy to come and attack someone we love or know? And I'm passing that question out there to anybody. If you want to send me a text, you can. I'll see it. If not, we still love you. But it is a question that is being raised because we live here in America where everybody has a question. Everybody want to know this. I call it the 5 W's, Grant. They say who, what, when, where, and I always throw that H in the how. Who, what, when, and why. Because that gets them to a point where they say, okay, we're going to conclude it. And as you said, Grant, the only conclusion I have is the Word of God. No matter what a demon tried to do to me, say to me, I don't receive it. And I say this with authority to all the listeners. You don't have to receive anything when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Satan, enemy, has no rights. But it's up to you to keep yourself in God's presence. It's up to you, beloved, to keep your prayer language open. It's up to you, prayer love, to love somebody, regardless if they're black or white, rich or poor. Love them despite all things. And always have a forgiving heart. Amen, amen. Well, amen. I thank God for the radio tonight. And any more questions you got, go ahead. You got something else you want to say?
Well, Dr. Hunter, I'd love an opportunity to dialogue with you and perhaps even address that question that you're concerned about the demons having the ability to attack us and how you go about it. And whenever you get together again to talk about that, please send me a text and just allow me to sit in and listen, and I'll share just a little bit because it is important. Certainly, our God's children, our brothers and sisters, are going through so much in these terms, in these circumstances. There are attacks, but I just as an admonishment, and James has said, count it all joy. All right, and Peter. He says, God went through it, Christ went through it, counted a joy. He said, it brings glory to Christ when we also are attacked in the same manner. So that'll be the nature of any statements I'm making. But I'd love to dialogue with you or anyone else who that's a concern because, you know, certainly as members of the body, we have a responsibility to pray and also participate with it. And that's a very interesting question. So thank you so much for allowing me on this evening just to be part of the dialogue, the discussion. And I'm very happy that you said some people start emailing you and texting you. That shows that they're listening. So you're doing an awesome God. And you are a phenomenal man of God now. Thank you for being my friend.
Yeah, thank you for being my friend. But I will say this to us, Grant. We're going to have to reach the unreached. There are many people are listening. We're going to have to find a way. And I'm saying to the people, if you want us to come to you, send me that email. We'll be more than glad. Excuse me. We will be more than glad to come and to bring the Word of God to you. We're not going to complain. We're not going to complain. We're not going to come shaking. We're going to come in full authority. We're going to uproot, pull down, and declare and decree the Word of God. Because our God has said it. And when God says it, we stand in God's presence. We do what God has told us to do. And we're here, it's like I said to a friend of mine, he was a policeman. He said, well, I'm no longer a policeman. I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm a watchman. I have to watch him. Because people are doing things that they don't understand. And it gives us to know, we have to just take what God is saying. And, you know, you are a man of much, much means and much understanding, Grant. I thank God for you. I really do thank God for you. And you've been a great speaker. You're continuous. And if you have nothing else to say, we're going to say we want to have you back next Thursday night at the same time. But I have to say to my listening audience, I'm having some issues with the blog. It's getting ready where I can come on the regular time, Central Standard Time. CST means Central Standard Time. I've had some people call some people call me and talk to me. But I always say to them, we're here for you. Can we reach and touch? No time, no position, no distance is too far for the word of God, for the word of God to come forth. So, Grant, I thank God for you. I praise God for you. And I want to thank you very much. If you got any other words on the last part of what God is saying.
The last word, if there is one, is that my prayer for each of you would be that God allows you that phenomenal day. And again, it's not just attitude. It's just the knowledge that God is supreme. He's sovereign in your life. You've surrendered your life to him. You've given control to him. And therefore, he's responsible for all things and everything that happens to you. And as you're walking in purpose, his decree, he said, his promise is it's all going to work out for your good. And if you can just take that simple promise and pray it back to him and say, God, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what you're doing. But your word says, you said this, and I believe it, and day by day you will realize that it is true. And what you'll find out is there's some things that you didn't know about that he's going to show you, and you're going to see how he's connecting the dots. And in the same manner that the Bible says, when God does his justice, no man will be able to say anything. You're going to have your mouth hanging off and say, ooh, he got me. Ooh, that's true. In the same way that if his justice is true, when he thrills you with bringing you out of that circumstance and you get to see what he was up to while you were in it, you're going to be amazed. And then you become that walking manifestation of the goodness of God. And I'm going to leave you with that until next week. So in Jesus' name, that was a verbally orchestrated prayer. And I'll just say in Jesus' name, amen. And Dr. Hunter, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to visit with you on your line. And good night to everyone.
Amen.
God bless.
I want to thank everybody.
God bless you, sir. Thank you
amen.
For sharing.
All right. Good night to everyone. Bye-bye.
Hey, God bless you. Hello?